The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 25.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Large crowds were travelling with Jesus, and turning to them he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays a foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off, and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but it loses its saltiness. How can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. The words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, and Lord, our strength and redeemer. As I get older, as I progress through life and watch the world progress with me, I see a world where too many have turned away from God. A world of not just double standards, but of multiple standards. I am witness to a world where the focus is more on the self and survival of the self. When I was a child, I was taught the world does not revolve around you. Now it seems that in the focus of self, the perception exists that the world does indeed revolve around the individual. As the world and I have progressed through life together, there has been a thought that has become more and more constant as time progresses. In this evolving world of self-reliance and self-survival, how does one live and survive this changing world without God? Not unlike many others, I myself have had my own trials and tribulations to endure, but I have done so with God by my side. I could not even begin to fathom how I could have survived such times without God. In such a changing and increasingly self-serving world, we need God, not just for ourselves, but for so many others that are trying to survive without God. This morning's reading from Luke's Gospel is just as relevant now in our world as it was when Jesus addressed the large crowds, as described by Luke. Here in Luke's Gospel, Jesus teaches us three lessons concerning discipleship. To be aware of the balance between our priorities of self and priorities of being with God and serving God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The first lesson is perhaps the most provocative. In Luke's Gospel, you would have heard the words from Jesus saying, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, Such a person cannot be my disciple. I suspect that many of you, as you heard those words, experienced varying degrees of shock and confusion. How could Jesus say such a thing? Isn't this contradictory to the fifth commandment? Honor thy mother and father. I must confess that when I was preparing this sermon, I also balked at today's gospel reading because of verse 26's perceived instruction of hate. To be honest, I could have structured my sermon on the Old Testament reading from Jeremiah or the New Testament reading from Philemon and totally avoided addressing Luke's gospel. But how would we learn? If we only address the parts of the Bible that we like, that we are comfortable with, and we totally ignore that which we do not like or makes us uncomfortable, are we truthfully learning? Or are we only gathering up snippets as we try to make sense of an incomplete picture? So let us be bold and see what we can make sense of this confusing piece of scripture. The first thing we should take notice of is that indeed the Bible tells us the fifth commandment is to honor my mother and father. Also, Ephesians chapter 6 verses 1 to 3 tells us, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. Honor your mother and father, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Colossians chapter 3 verse 20 says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Biblically, the word of God is clear that we should honor and obey our parents. There is, however, a passage from the Gospel of Matthew that may begin to clear this conundrum that we have found in the Gospel of Luke. Matthew 10 verse 37 says, anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their sons or daughters more than me is not worthy. What we learn from this scripture from Matthew is that Jesus is to be loved first and foremost. It is a conscious decision, a choice to make, to love Jesus more than all others. This relationship between love, hate, and choice is not an unusual concept in the Bible. When we look at the words love or hate, we tend to think and define in the emotional sense. But in the biblical narrative, love and hate can also relate to choice. In other words, love can mean to choose, while hate can mean not to choose or to reject. An example of this can be found in the book of Malachi, chapter 1, verse 2 to 3. I have loved you, said the Lord, but you ask, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord? Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. Yet I loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. What this simply translates to is that Jacob was chosen to be the covenantal son, while Esau was not chosen or rejected. In more modern terms, I could say that I love the Australian cricket team and that I hate the English cricket team. Now, I don't emotionally love the Australian cricket team, and I certainly don't emotionally hate the English cricket team. What I am voicing is that I choose to support the Australian cricket team, and I choose not to support or reject support for the English cricket team. So if we go back to reread Luke's gospel, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and child, children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. But now combine our understanding of Matthew 10, verse 37. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And add what we now know of love and hate in the form of choosing and rejecting. We can reasonably conclude that Jesus is not directing us to hate in the emotional sense. Rather, he is saying that if anyone loves their father or mother more than Jesus, or loves their own self or life more than Jesus, and does not choose to put Jesus first above all things, they cannot be a disciple. What this reading from the Gospel of Luke provides us with is a lesson of choice and priorities. Such a choice should not be a new notion or come to us as a surprise as Christians. After all, each and every Sunday we are reminded that we should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, with all your strength. It's a choice that we love God, and that it is our choice that we love God with everything that we are and have. This is the first commandment. The second lesson that Luke's Gospel mentions pertains to carrying one's own cross. This is to remind us that being a Christian is not always easy. That, like Jesus, Christians must also be prepared to face rejection from the world, and that in such times we must remain steadfast and loyal to Christ. This lesson recognizes that being a Christian is not always easy. In fact, there are times that being a Christian can be quite hard. The Gospel according to Matthew tells us in chapter 7, verse 14, how narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. How narrow is the gate and difficult the road. Matthew's Gospel clearly says that the road or the way to being a Christian is not easy. However, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 30, Jesus tells us that, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, if we combine both statements from Matthew, we discover something interesting about the difficulty of being a Christian or carrying one's cross. Christ's yoke is easy and the burden is light, Matthew 11, verse 30, while the way is hard, Matthew 7, verse 14. What this means is Christians carry light burdens on a hard path. Reverse the image and you'll get a contrasting picture of the world itself. People who have heavy burdens on an easy path. Through this lesson we recognize that yes, the Christian path is hard in comparison with the world's path, which is much easier. It promises acceptance by many, immediate gratification, and the promotion of self. The world's path promotes focus of self, and in doing so takes our focus away from Jesus and God. For all of us, this is a valuable lesson to learn. The third lesson concerning discipleship uses salt as a metaphor. Salt is good, but it loses its saltiness. How can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. This is a lesson of commitment. Simply put, if a disciple turns away from their commitment to God, they lose their saltiness and are of no use to God. Paul the Apostle was aware of these lessons and the distracting influences of the world, for he once wrote in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Paul's acknowledgement of good discipleship is important. In fact, as Christians, that is why every Sunday we pray, Father, we offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Today's gospel reading has provided us with sound lessons on being a disciple to God through Christ. In the beginning, I said that Luke's gospel offers us three lessons. Now I'm going to suggest that it offers us one more. The Bible is a beautiful book that has more depth than any other book written in human history. It has so much to say, to share, and to teach. So when we come across a Bible that tells us that Jesus said to hate mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, be mindful of the depth that the Bible has. If I chose to ignore today's gospel from Luke and went forth with the readings from Jeremiah and Philemon, then we would all not have learned what we learned today. Amen.